Custom has decided from the earliest ages that white is the most fitting hue for brides. Whatever may be the material, it is an emblem of purity and innocence of girlhood, and the unsullied heart she now yields to the chosen one. Hello and welcome back to Silhouettes, a fashion history podcast all about the importance of the clothes we wear. Now, as I mentioned briefly in my last two-part interview with Kate Strasdin, listen to that if you haven't already, I am, in the springtime, getting married. Woohoo! And of course, being the person that I am, the thing that has preoccupied my mind the most in the entire nine-month run-up to our day is my dress. I mean, what else did you expect from me? I, however, was quite adamant in recent years that I should not and would not wear white. I decided I would aim for a dress in more pastel colours, aka that kind of pineapple yellow prom dress that she wears in Greece, you know the one I mean. I'd always thought that given my albeit brief knowledge on the background of the white wedding dress, the culture, the politics, the ideas surrounding it, and the association with the treatment of young women and purity and weird things like that, it was not something I was particularly comfortable with. However, I have ended up buying a white dress. Not one, but two. Yes, I gave in the very last moment, in this feeling that it wouldn't be a proper wedding if I didn't wear white. And whilst I was surprised at myself on one hand, I think on the other hand, I always deep down knew that this would happen. And don't get me wrong, my dress is wonderful. It's something from a fairy tale and I'm absolutely in love with it. And I will, of course, share it with all of you on my Instagram at Silhouettes Podcast. If you want to have a look, you won't be disappointed. But it really got me thinking, why are we such sticklers in the West for the wedding tradition of the white dress? It's so deeply baked into our culture that it doesn't feel bridal enough if you wear any other colour for a lot of people. And I found myself in that hole as well. And really, that's fine. Of course it is, and I'm happy that I've made that decision for myself to prioritise what I really, really want. At the end of the day, that in itself, I think, is shaking off a lot of the ancient prescribed tradition of the white dress in itself, is it not? By me, a woman, taking back some autonomy and actually doing what I want rather than what society and men and religion and culture is really telling me what I should do. There's an interesting combination here of the two, and I think that's what we found ourselves in the modern day. But of course it did. It got the fashion historian in me thinking, why do we wear white? And when did that really start? I just am so interested in where that idea came from and how it found its roots to become the blueprint for the Western bride. Is it just a Western ideal as well? And why has it come to completely cement this image of tradition, the proper bride, in our mind? So, without further ado, let's get into that. Why do we wear white wedding dresses? And what is the history, from weddings of yore to weddings of today, of the white-clad bride? So in the UK, in Europe, and in sort of North America, more or less, the typical attire for a bride is a very formal dress, including adornments like flowers and a veil. And this usually prescribes to the idea of the white wedding, a white wedding dress model. And the bride's dress is bought usually specifically for the wedding, and in general is not a dress that she would have worn previously or will ever wear again. However, this idea is actually very, very modern, as prior to the Victorian era and even further into the 1900s, women would have generally worn a dress they already owned and particularly could wear again. Sometimes they would buy a dress specifically for the use of the wedding, but it would generally be something that they had the ability to wear post-wedding to other formal events or to church. Nowadays, however, that is just completely away from our culture, and your wedding dress is bought for the purposes of wearing the one and only time, and it will be a dress that is completely away from our general day-to-day style. However, in the past, in general, people did dress more formally than we are used to, and so a wedding dress would not have been hugely different from their day-to-day evening attire. It might have been a little bit more fancy, and it might have been a little bit more decorated with lace or wax flowers, but on the whole, it would have been a dress that women could wear again. Now, it also needs to be taken into account that the tradition of marriage is much older than the wedding. And so for the purposes of this episode, we will be talking about the tradition of the wedding more so than the history of the concept of marriage. In Western countries, as well as around the world, the concept of marriage was a very, very different affair to what we're used to. And it was only in the early modern period, or maybe a little bit before, that the idea of the wedding started to come into being. Previously, marriage was was more of a business proposal and would have been political, or a way to combine families, and weddings wouldn't have happened in the same way in terms of it's an event that you dress up for, people visit, and it's a party. That is a very, very modern idea. But with that idea in mind, let's sort of start at the beginning of the white wedding dress, or the generally accepted idea of the first white wedding dress. It is, as I just said, generally accepted that Queen Victoria started the phenomenon of the white wedding dress. Typically, she is credited as the first woman in the modern West to ever wear white as a wedding dress, and essentially coined the trend for women thereafter. When Queen Victoria married her first cousin, Albert, then known as the German Prince of Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, hope I said that right, she wore a very stylish, modern, pale white dress, decorated with opulent orange blossoms and lace details. According to the Fashion Institute of Technology, the structured eight-piece bodice features a wide open neckline, the off-the-shoulder sleeves are short and puffed, the pointed waistline is deep V-shaped, resembling the Basque shape. Both the neckline and sleeves were trimmed with lace, and the floor-length skirt was very full, containing seven widths of fabric in forward-facing pleats. At her wedding ceremony, Victoria wore a satin train over 6 yards long, with 12 attendants carried down the aisle. The gown was constructed only of British materials, purposefully patronising industries that were in decline. And that was one of the reasons she chose to wear white lace. So she could funnel money and patronage and business into the dying art of lace making in the Victorian era. Now, Queen Victoria was married in the 1840s, and so this is generally seen as the time where the white wedding dress started to become popular, and after this you can track a long line of women also adopting to wear white. In her diary, Victoria described her dress herself. As she says, "I wore a white satin gown with a very deep flounce of Honington lace, imitation of old. I wore my Turkish diamond necklace and earrings and Albert's beautiful sapphire brooch." Now, I will admit that Victoria's dress is absolutely beautiful. It's so lovely, and it's in a very classic Victorian style. It's decorated, it's flouncy, it's covered in wax flowers and lace, and it is exactly what you'd expect from a wedding dress of a royal at this time period. The difference being it was bright white, or sort of champagne-y white. As I said at the beginning of this episode, often women would have just worn a dress they already had and decorated it with flowers and bouquets and lace details and little jackets and other things like that to just kind of make fancy a dress that they already had with at a lower cost. And this was a big important thing. Sometimes these dresses would have been red or brown, or sometimes even black was a very popular colour for a wedding dress, which now I think is seen as something that's very unique or different, or, you know, quirky, things like that, if someone wears black. However, in the early Victorian times, before that Regency era, even before the 18th century, black was a very, very popular wedding dress, particularly in Europe. And so for that reason, Queen Victoria is known to be the first woman to wear a white wedding dress. However, she most definitely was not the very first, and this is important. Now, Victoria was unabashedly smitten with her groom, Prince Albert, and her wedding was seen by many as not one of political necessity, as many royal weddings before them had been, but of romantics. As she said in her diary, "To feel I was and am loved by such an angel as Albert was too great a detail to describe. In fact, never had there been such a public royal wedding, with the bride and the queen paraded through the streets in a shared national celebration, and this only contributed to the national appeal of the celebration and of the couple in general as a sort of early celebrity couple." According to an article in History Extra, prior to that, royal weddings were usually private affairs, solemnised in the royal chapels with little public fanfare. And this is the same around the UK and in Europe as well. And this is very important, as not only was Victoria's wedding so public, but the public nature of her day has created a great deal of both contemporary and subsequent buzz about the whole event in general and about her dress. You'll find information all over the internet that clearly states that Queen Victoria started the trend of the white wedding dress, that she coined it, she created it, and she was the first to ever wear white to a wedding. An article from the Washington Post is literally entitled, "Queen Victoria was the first to get married in white." Also, an article in Town & Country magazine is called, "The Royal Reason Why Brides Wear White." It's a bit of a tongue twister. According to this article from Town & Country, at the time of Queen Victoria's wedding to Prince Albert, it was common for wedding dresses to come in a variety of colours, which, yes, is true. But Victoria chose a white dress. White gowns were not popular, as keeping a white dress white after it was worn was exceedingly difficult at the time period. White outfits, therefore, were viewed as a sign of wealth. Whilst this isn't untrue in some ways, as I said earlier, white wasn't always the popular colour and women did often wear darker, different sorts of colours for their weddings. It's also quite an over-exaggerated claim, as if you look at the details of dresses worn at the time, pale lilacs, pinks, and even whites were popular choices for both wedding attire, formal attire, and even daytime, particularly for the upper middle class, but also for the lower middle class. In Kate Strasden's book, The Dress Diary of Mrs. Anne Sykes, that I spoke about in my most recent series, it highlights that, as Anne herself included many swatches of pale silk dresses, white cottons and other pastel colours throughout. And even before Victoria's white wedding dress, her friend, as Kate shows us in the book The Dress Diary of Mrs. Anne Sykes, wore a pale lilac dress to her wedding, which Anne kept a swatch of. And this was pre-1840 and pre-Queen Victoria's wedding. So if white colours were so, so difficult to upkeep, they wouldn't have been such a popular choice for women around the country and around the West. For not only weddings, but for everything. White, pale green, particularly lilac and pastel pink, were just really popular dresses all throughout the 1830s and 1840s. And so naturally, a lot of women before Queen Victoria would have worn a white pastel dress or even a lighter coloured dress with white accents, because that might have been their fanciest clothing. And so this generalised idea that we have of Victoria being the very first is not completely true and fits almost into the generalised fashion ideals that we hold, I think, around the world. For example, things like all women in America in the 20s were flappers, which is just not true and would not have been possible. Or all women in the 60s wore those mini skirts and burned their bras. In fact, there was a lot more nuance, and potentially Victoria was monopolizing on something that was already happening around her and merely propelled it into a more public eye, as her wedding day, as I said, was actually documented. Because of course, most of the weddings that happened around the world before her wedding, and in the UK particularly, would have been for the eyes of the people at the wedding only. Many people did not have the ability to photograph or film or make public their weddings. So Victoria was not the first to wear a white dress on her wedding day, nor was she even the first royal woman, in fact. Princess Philippa of England is cited as the first documented royal to wear a white bridal ensemble. And that is pretty much fact from what we know in terms of documentation. So it's interesting that Victoria is widely known, particularly on the internet and by people in general, as the first to ever wear white, where in fact there was another royal who is documented to be the first. Princess Philippa's dress consisted of a white tunic with a white silk cloak. And in fact, in 1406, Catherine of Aragon possibly wore what was known as virginal white to her wedding of Henry VIII in 1509, as well as Mary Queen of Scots, who wore white on her wedding day in 1558. So this is years and years, hundreds of years before Queen Victoria ever wore white, despite her being known as the first. According to an article by Richard Cavendish from History Today, volume 58 and issue 4, very good article if you want to have a read of that, Mary Queen of Scots was 15 and Francis was 14 when they were married with spectacular pageantry and magnificence in the Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris by the Cardinal Archbishop of Rouen in the presence of Henry II, Queen Catherine Medici, the Princess and Princesses of the Blood, and a glittering throng of cardinals and nobles. The Duke of Guise was master of ceremonies, and Mary wore a white dress with a long train borne by two young girls. She wore a diamond necklace and a golden coronet studded with jewels, and it was described by the courtier Pierre de Brantôme as 100 times more beautiful than a goddess. Her person alone was worth a kingdom. Also, in thinking about the earliest recorded instance of a white wedding, that of English Princess Philippa to the Scandinavian King Eric in 1406, she was described as being dressed in a white tunic that was lined with ermine and squirrel fur. And in fact, for the next few centuries after this, white did remain a very popular, not obligatory colour, for royal weddings. And many princesses after this fact can be seen documented wearing white. Princess Charlotte, when she married Prince Leopold of Saxe-Gotha-Saalfeld in 1816, wore an empire-waisted dress in metallic silver lamé with white details. And at this time period, we do have the idea that white was more expensive, harder to access and harder to clean. And so instead of always communicating this idea of purity that I mentioned earlier, and I will talk more about in a minute, it actually communicated the status and wealth and royalty of the wearer. So this idea that Town & Country magazine mentioned cannot necessarily be attributed to a Victorian sensibility, but is likely documented for centuries before that, when white cannot be seen worn very often. Often darker colours, browns and reds, were chosen because you couldn't wash your clothes very easily or very often, so kind of gross, but it didn't show up stains. And white was extremely hard to wear, particularly in the early 1800s and even before that, think the Tudor era and the 15th century. And so for that reason, white would have been a popular choice for royal brides because it was have communicated their status. But this cannot necessarily be said for women from the Regency era onward, because as we know, white and pastel colours were a very, very popular colour choice for even lower class women and men. You only have to look at a selection of fashion plates or illustrations, or even read book descriptions from places like Jane Austen and otherwise, to get an idea of how popular white and pastels were. However, clearly, there is documented evidence that Victoria was not the first woman and the first royal woman to wear white. Now, it makes sense that this idea has pervaded. As we've said many times on this podcast, the fashion of the royals has dictated so many changes in Western fashion history, particularly for women. And of course, the wedding dress and its tradition is no stranger to this. And as I said earlier, the rise in photography and wedding portraits and just how popular Queen Victoria's wedding and her romanticised relationship between her and her prince were, it makes sense that this wedding went a long way in popularising the idea of the white wedding dress, purely because Queen Victoria was someone who was seen as an ideal and people wanted to replicate both her trends, her personality, as well as her idea of domestic bliss. People wanted to embody that. People wanted to replicate that because she was seen as such an ideal blueprint of a woman at the time. Now, there are no photos of Queen Victoria and Prince Albert on their wedding day, but a series of court photos taken a few years later in 1854, when the royal couple were in their mid-30s, are often mistaken for wedding portraits because the Queen appears in a light-coloured dress, veil and a crown of flowers. But there were many illustrations of the Queen widely distributed at the time, in magazines, in newspapers, as well as on postcards. And like I said, a lot of people would have actually been able to see her on her wedding day because it was a widely popular event. So with all this in mind, it makes complete sense that Victoria and her white wedding dress became known as the one who popularized it, because on one hand she did. While she was not the first to actually wear a white wedding dress, she was the first to make it widely popular to people of the other classes, particularly the middle classes and the upper middle. In the Victorian era, we see the introduction of the nuance of classes. Previous to that, it would have just been the upper class and the lower class. But in this era, particularly after the Industrial Revolution, which of course has its own not so nice history, which I will mention another time in another episode, but now is not the time to do so. We see the introduction of the working class, the upper working class, the lower middle, the upper middle, and the upper classes, and then the royalty. There was so much specific nuance that arrived at this time period. So there would have been more people with the ability, those in the upper and the middle classes, able to replicate the Queen. And so it's no brainer that her wedding dress would have been something that was widely replicated too, particularly because the institution of marriage was so important during this time period, as women had no rights until they were married. And this is also when we see in the sort of mid-1800s and the early 1800s too, but particularly sort of the 1820s to 40s, the introduction of the wedding come into play and it be more of an event. It's a party. People have your wedding ceremony, then your wedding breakfast or a wedding reception, you have bridesmaids. And so it makes complete sense that people, women particularly, would have wanted to make more event out of a wedding because that's something they would have seen, both friends and family, and wanted to do themselves, and thus would have wanted to have a dress to be able to mark the occasion, much like we do today. The only difference being that I did mention earlier from today in to women in the past is up until about the 19th century, women, not even people like Victoria, not even royalty, would not have been expected to wear their dress the one time like we are today. And that would have been quite preposterous to people because dresses and clothes were so hard to make, so hard to access, and created such an amount of work for the person making it that the idea of wearing a dress only once would just not have even been in people's repertoire. Queen Victoria herself even repurposed her own wedding dress and the veil and her accessories, which she can be seen using again, just redecorated and recoloured in a different way in future photos and portraits. For many women, it would have become their Sunday best. They would have worn it to church, as I said earlier, or to other events or parties. parties or even other people's weddings, which is really interesting. Now, if I, for example, wear my dress that I'm going to wear in spring to a friend's wedding in the summer, I don't even know. There would be outcry. People would think it was such a bizarre thing to do. Whether it was a white dress or not, the idea that I've been seen wearing this dress to my wedding and re-wearing it again would just be absurd. However, this was something that was quite popular at the time because people did not have many evening dresses. And as I said, even the royals repurposed their dresses. Nobody wore something just the once, even their wedding dress. And so this is an extremely modern idea, and it really has roots in the fast fashion revolution. I also did an episode on that if you want to listen to that. It was a few months ago. But this started with the rise of Hollywood and the popularity of clothes being seen only the once and never worn again, but I'll get into that a little bit later. But this idea of re-wearing a dress is also quite interesting, and one of the reasons why wearing white was quite popular for many women even before Queen Victoria wore it. Many women would have potentially worn a paler colour because it could have been re-dyed to be turned into another sort of evening dress, or was easy to change because white or pastel is an easier blueprint with which to work with future dresses, as opposed to wearing something a dark brown or a dark red, which, as I said, was a popular colour, but white was also popular for these other reasons. According again to the Fashion Institute of Technology in their article entitled Queen Victoria's Wedding Dress, written by Summer Lee, who has incidentally been interviewed on the podcast before, hello Summer, the idea of a white wedding dress was not novel in 1840, as I said. White was not the only acceptable colour. White had already been a popular choice for a wedding gown for centuries. However, while the English silk and lace undoubtedly made Victoria's gown magnificent, the colour white was simple in comparison to previous royal brides who typically wore silver or gold as a sign of their royalty. And this is true from what I said earlier. A lot of these royal brides would have worn white, but as when I described their clothes, it would have been champagne with gold embellishments, darker silver colours like that. The blueprint would have been white, but darker, warmer colours like gold would have been added, and that was seen as more royal than just a simple lace white dress. There are, however, competing theories on why Queen Victoria might have worn white. She had chosen to wear white mostly because it was the perfect colour to highlight the delicate lace, writes Julia Baird in Victoria the Queen, an intimate biography of the woman who ruled an empire. But historian Jennifer Stedman, however, believes Victoria chose white aware of its perceptions of innocence in the media. She wanted to be Albert's wife, so she didn't wear the red ermine robe of state. She wore white. After that, all representations in fashion magazines picked up on that, and the white wedding dress became the standard symbol of innocence. However, Baird also says that before bleaching techniques were mastered, white was a rare and expensive colour, more of a symbol of wealth than of this purity, and Victoria was not the first to wear it, and she made it popular by example, as I said earlier. So here we also get this interesting confusion between whether white was worn for practical use, because it was already a popular colour, because it symbolised wealth, or because it symbolised innocence and purity. And this is where the nuance comes in. The idea of innocence in connection with white is very interesting and has pervaded the choices made by brides throughout the world, but particularly in the West, in the US and in Europe more widely. And white is generally understood as a statement of purity and innocence and becomes the emblem of those who are, you know, pure and virginal. Traditionally, brides of the past did wear this colour as a display of innocence and girlhood. The Godey's Lady Book of the mid and late 1800s, a book designed specifically to attract the growing audience of American women, wrote, "Custom has decided from the earliest ages that white is the most fitting hue, whatever may be the material. It is an emblem of the purity and innocence of girlhood and the unsullied heart she now yields to the chosen one." It's very dramatic. And this ideal of weddings being for romantic love and purity were projected backwards to rewrite the white dress as a symbol of innocence and virginity rather than wealth. And this trend caught on, and Queen Victoria's dress became associated for many, particularly in religious America, to represent this idea of purity and virginity, and so many adopted the white for that reason. This is arguably because, most likely, in the Bible, white is often associated with righteousness. In the book of Revelation, the bride of Christ is described as wearing a white dress. This symbolizes her purity and her status as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So, of course, naturally, as within the Christian religion, you must not consummate the marriage until you are, in fact, married. And so it makes sense that within this ideal, white became popular categorized as the chosen color for someone who, on their wedding day, would be a virgin. Now, of course, as I mentioned, this was not exactly the reason that Queen Victoria chose to wear white, more so because white was the perfect color to highlight the details of the Honington lace she chose, because it was already a fairly popular color, and it may have symbolized her wealth. But in the past, the wearing of white did come to signify these ideas of purity and innocence for many Western women. And for some, it still holds meaning today. Interestingly, there is also a lot of minutiae to the tone of white you wear. According to a website called Cake and Lace, an article called What Do the Colours of Your Wedding Dress Mean? White equals purity. Ivory means tainted purity, according to some. Light gold, so sort of champagne-y white, means wealth and elegance, as I mentioned earlier. And in fact, other colours worn prior to the fad of the white dress of the Victorian era and the tradition that we know today had meaning. Purple exuded royalty, power, sophistication. Black meant elegance, sexuality. Red was power, love and warmth. And pink, innocence and femininity. So not only was white a colour with a lot of meaning, but potentially other colours had meaning too, and this might have helped women make their choice as to what colour they chose to wear. But truly, I think we today, in the modern day, only wear white due to its significance of tradition. It's just what you do, and anyone who veers from this seems to be accepted as quirky or unique or some other kind of innocuous point of view. As far as we may have come with diverse feminism and acceptance, there are still little hints to women being told what to do and ideas circulating around true femininity, womanhood and ideas of purity. I'm certain today that most women getting married are not wearing white for the historically accepted reasons, but still women, I think, feel a certain sense of societal pressure to do so, whether they perhaps realise it or not. Of course, many women and men, and in fact everyone on the gender spectrum, will make this choice for themselves, just because they like it, and that's great too. That's what I did, because I just really like white wedding dresses, and I wanted to feel bridal, and I do think white lace is pretty beautiful, and I don't have much opportunity to wear it any other time in my life. But there is most likely a great deal of us out there that do it for a variety of complicated, nuanced reasons that encapsulate both want, need, and tradition. As I said right at the start, I am wearing white, and I too got a little bit stuck in the hole of doing what felt the most bridal, and part of me got stuck into wanting wear what felt the most weddingy, just because it's my wedding and I wanted it to feel weddingy. And I also wanted to wear the most dramatic, sparkly, gaudy dress I could find, and it so happened that these dresses were far more easily accessed in white and with the wedding tag. But also, I love a white wedding, and I wanted to wear white. I wanted to be a bride in the most traditionally cheesy sense of the word, because ideally it's my one and only time to do so. I want to look back at my pictures and know they were from my wedding, and I want to feel like I stand out on the day and wear something that I would never get away with wearing any other time in my life. And I think many other people feel exactly the same way, and that is completely valid. But I do also think white dresses are wonderful, gorgeous pieces, and white has now ultimately moved far away from this initial point of contention as to whether it showed wealth, whether it showed purity, or whether it was just popular. But when you get into the historical nitty-gritty of this idea and partially this concept of tradition, it's still in a small way undeniable that this is where its origins lie, and without realising, we may be perpetuating this ideal by putting women in the bracket of unique or different if they choose to veer away from our culturally accepted tradition. Some people don't feel comfortable wearing white because they know about the history of innocence and purity and its religious associations, and that's valid too. I think we need to learn to accept that white is not the blueprint for a wedding, and people, women particularly, can make this choice, and they are not weird or unique or quirky if they choose to wear red or black, because in fact throughout history that was a particularly popular colour, and the tradition of the white wedding dress is extremely modern when it comes to the history of the world. And so we need to be a little bit more forgiving for that and not get stuck too much into the whole of tradition, because I think sometimes it can be more detrimental than we like to realise, particularly when it comes to fashion and the fashion of women. But not only does white in a dress represent this ideal, but so do our accessories. Historically, veils were used to represent modesty and purity, particularly in religious ceremonies, because covering the face was seen as a religious ideal, as you weren't allowed to show your beauty to your husband before you were married to him, and it's only once you were with him about to be married that you could lift the veil and show your face. So even something like the veil has a lot of history in terms of religion and this idea of purity and innocence, more so than we might realise. But of course, the meaning has also evolved. Now veils are seen as just a modern an accessory to help capture the essence and personal style in each and every bride, as every veil is very different and sits differently as a different colour, but sits differently on their head, for example. And it's just become the generally accepted accessory of a bridal look. Again, stuck into this hole of tradition, but one that many people want to find themselves in, myself included. Now, this idea of bridal white is also really interesting to me because it's only, and again, a very modern idea that only the bride wears white. I know a lot of people get upset if someone at the wedding, particularly a woman, wears white instead of the bride because you want the bride to be the only person wearing white and to be seen. But actually, in the past, the bride, as well as all of her bridesmaids, would have probably worn the same dress, or at least a dress in a very similar style and in the same colour, particularly white. And this is, again, so far away from what we're used to doing now. Traditionally, the bridesmaids are all in the same colour and the bride is in white. However, in the past, as is also mentioned in Kate Strasden's book, the bridesmaids and the bride would have wanted to have been seen as a cohesive unit, particularly in photographs. And so they would have all worn the same colour, so it's obvious that they're part of the same bridal party. And it was a way of connecting women through sisterhood and friendship. And I do think that's quite lovely in a way. And it is something we maybe have lost. But I think that's echoed in the fact that the bridesmaids will usually wear the same colour or even the same dress. And it's this idea of connection through fashion that we definitely have kept in terms of weddings that I think we've lost through a lot of the rest of our fashion usage. It's not really something we do today. And people often get quite offended or shocked if you wear the same thing as them to an event. But in the past, this wouldn't have been something that was completely unheard of, particularly at weddings. And it's still something we do now. Like I said, the bridesmaids will all wear the same, which I think is quite sweet and actually a tradition that I'm very happy we've kept on to. Victoria, for example, also chose white for all of her 12 bridesmaids, and you can see documented evidence of that. And they do look like a joined cohesive party, and it's really very sweet. Now, moving on from the Victorian era and Queen Victoria's wedding, I think it's interesting to talk a little bit more about our modern history of the white wedding dress. According to an article in Reader's Digest called The History of Wedding Dresses, the white wedding dress from the turn of the century became the standard of the Western world and pervaded throughout the early 19th century, with white dresses made in the style of the time all the way up until now. Throughout the 1910s and 1920s, white was the blueprint colour for wedding dresses, and I will share a lot of examples on my Instagram at Silhouettes Podcast that you can look at while you listen to this episode to really hammer that point home, because white became the standard for weddings and pretty much all women prescribed to this idea. It was only during the war effort, as this article says, that lavish gowns weren't a priority for garment production, and so women returned to wearing their Sunday best or occasionally creating altered versions of their husband's white suits, very much in keeping with the make, do and mend mentality of the era. Obviously, a lot of women did make themselves white dresses, but often they would have merely altered an evening dress that they already had or borrowed from family members, from ancestors, and so would have worn white dresses, but not necessarily in the 1940s style. But this is obviously because of historical background, political context that made this happen. If the war hadn't have happened, it's likely that the white idea of the wedding dress in the style of the era would have pervaded, much like it did before that. Though the war was over by the time Queen Elizabeth married Prince Philip in 1947, the country was still feeling the effects of rationing and the mood was quite sombre, and wanting not to appear too overwhelmingly decadent, Elizabeth's dress of ivory, silk and pearls was noticeably understated in comparison to her forebears, but would go on to be highly influential for the romantic feeling bride, looking for delicate features like a shorter skirt or embroidered flowers to appear as youthful and feminine as possible. That's also from this article in Reader's Digest. And that's also very interesting in itself, the idea of the delicate feminine bride. And it's still this association with white. We see it pervading even in the war. And that was not necessarily Queen Elizabeth's point or idea when she chose this dress. As it said, she didn't want to be too decadent after the war when people had been suffering and struggling so much. But still, white becomes associated by many with usefulness and femininity and with innocence and purity. It's something we sort of can't really get away from, it seems. But in keeping with the free love movement, white was no longer the only option into the 60s. The famous canary yellow dress and flower crown that Elizabeth Taylor wore to marry Richard Burton comes to mind, but so do coat dresses and getaway outfits designed in practical cotton fabrics and simple shapes to allow the bride to head straight off on her honeymoon. So clearly white, even throughout the 50s and the 60s, was still popular, but here we see historical contexts also changing the choices that people were making. And I think it's interesting that the 1960s is when we see it change, because of course innocence and purity, and particularly religion actually, became a lot less widespread in the UK and in America particularly. And so it makes sense that it's the 60s of all time periods that women decide to choose something a bit brighter or more fun or less in keeping with this idea of tradition, because typically that was an era where tradition was slightly tilted on its head, because we had a new generation of people who had grown up post-war and wanted to shake off some of this feeling that would have been circulating around them from the adults in their lives. And obviously, like I said at the very beginning, not every woman in the 60s wore a miniskirt and burned their bras. However, evidence does suggest that this was much more widespread than it would have been previous to the 1960s, and white would have been a lot less of a popular colour for many, and particularly because someone like Elizabeth Taylor, who was hugely popular at the time, and actually still is, much in the same way that Queen Victoria would have made the blueprint for people's choices, Elizabeth Taylor fulfilled a similar function for women, I imagine, and people would have wanted to replicate her style. And so we saw brighter colours like canary yellow become popular for people to wear on their weddings, and particularly because in the 1960s, the idea of the honeymoon started to come in much, much more, because people had more money, more freedom, more choice. And so the idea of wearing a dress where you can go straight on your honeymoon that evening also fits practically with this idea of people being a bit more free. But also don't forget, this was post-war, so a lot of people wouldn't have had the choice to buy quite as many clothes as we used to today. It's obviously into the 70s and 80s that we see the white wedding dress become much more popular, again, designed in the really 1970s peasant floppy hats, veils, bell sleeve style. Women did begin moving away, as this article says, from the traditional hoop-skirted silhouette of classical bridal fashion, and instead we see photographs and physical versions, I've seen many when I was shopping for wedding dresses, of this kind of straight-legged, maxi-dress, long-sleeve style of the 70s wedding dress, which is so far away from what something like Queen Victoria would have been wearing, it's very fascinating. However, as this article also says, people were transported right back on the 29th of July 1981 when Princess Diana stepped out of St Paul's Cathedral in enormous taffeta. With 750 million people watching, she resembled every inch of the more is more aesthetic of the 80s, which I don't disagree with. She wore oversized bows, lace and puff sleeves firmly back on the Victorian wedding mat. Still, we did not manage to shake the tradition of the white dress, and someone like Diana, who was so popular and such a popular fashion icon in the 80s, would have made this idea popular again. With so much history to draw on, the westernized wedding dress had been back and forth so many times that the form had almost been perfected, with brides knowing inherently whether they were a big skirted or a more laid back type of woman. And this is where we get the idea of the chill bride. But still, even if you're a chill bride and you choose more of a demure 70s long dress as opposed to a big 80s taffeta number, you still are probably wearing white. And post-Diana, this is where we also start to see, as I'm sure you're aware because it's much more modern history and I won't go too far into it, but this is where we start to see wedding dress designers become popular. Think of Vera Wang, for example. She has become the blueprint idealized wedding dress designer. And this is where the wedding industry really comes into play and has completely cemented the white wedding dress ideal in our modern minds. But it is something that was growing and growing and did shift and change a little, but really was the blueprint up until that point. According to a Vogue article by Maud Bass-Kruger called Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About the White Wedding Dress, the portrayal of weddings in Hollywood, as well as the speed and ease in which people could see images for celebrity weddings, helped cement the notion that marriage demanded rendered a white dress even more so than had happened in previous centuries. In 1956, film footage and photographs of Grace Kelly in her wedding gown made from lace, silk, pearls and tulle quickly made their way across the globe. And again, it was in 1981 when 750 million people watched Charles marry Diana that cemented this popular ideal of wearing white and the idea of celebrity culture, particularly Hollywood and the popularity of the royals, has just allowed this to snowball and snowball and snowball over time until it has become such a cemented tradition. And as I said, Queen Victoria was really the very first celebrity royal in the way that we know it today. And so it makes complete sense that she is known as the first to allow this tradition to snowball. Whilst it's not completely true that she was the first woman or the first royal to ever wear white at her wedding, she was the first to really popularise it in the way that we know today. Today, even in cultures where white wedding dresses are not the norm, such as China, some brides even change into white wedding dresses for official photographs. And although the white dress is sometimes replaced with a white trouser suit, for example, the colour remains a top choice for celebrating a union of marriage. Now, this idea of not wearing white outside of the West in other cultures like in China and India is a really fascinating part of historical wedding attire, and that's something I'm going to get into in another episode as part of this series, so keep your eyes and ears open for that. But really, it's safe to say that the making of the modern traditional wedding and the modern traditional bride has so much historical nuance, but really can be attached to the idea of celebrity and the idea of tradition just snowballing until it's become something that we must do and we don't feel right if we don't do it, purely because so many people, and women particularly in the past, both actresses and royals and other people of such ilk like designers, have done it too, and we want to embody them and replicate them. Because whilst royals are still sort of celebrities now, I think in the Victorian era and the turn of the century, they were celebrities in a way that we don't quite understand today, because the idea of the celebrity didn't exist in quite the same way. And it was really Hollywood, with people like Elizabeth Taylor, Grace Kelly, and Audrey Hepburn, that really cemented this idea of replication and embodiment, and the white wedding dress was no stranger to that, and made women want to feel as beautiful and glamorous as these women that they were seeing on screen and in magazines. And that is why I think the tradition has become so popular today and has allowed it to pervade our wedding culture. I also think there's an element here of familial bonding, in that our mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers would have also worn white because they also were part of this tradition. And so you want to feel like you are a part of that as well. And that is another huge element of tradition, particularly in the sense of weddings. And the wedding dress, of course, comes a part of that. Now, I haven't really mentioned it, but also there's a lot of consumerism here. And it's not a very positive thing, so I didn't really want to mention it a lot. But I think we also have been allowed and forced to want to buy into this idea of tradition, because consumerism post-1950s, say, post-war, has defined our way of life and defined the choices we make, particularly in terms of fashion. And as I said, the idea of the wedding industry became so big and is a multi-billion dollar industry, particularly in the West, but around the world as well. And so they want you to buy the most expensive white dress you can find so you feel like a bride. And these corporations are telling you that that's what you have to do, otherwise you are not a traditional bride. And that most definitely plays a part in this. And the idea of celebrity culture is entwined in this as well. And so, as I said, it is a very, very nuanced idea, and there's a lot of history behind this. But nowadays, we are able to make whatever choice you want. You can buy your dress vintage, secondhand, brand new if you like. You can even wear the dress that your mum or your grandma wore. And you don't even have to be a woman to wear a white wedding dress. Anybody can wear white in any form or way that they want. And I think we're moving into a time where this tradition is completely cemented. And I think for a long while now, we will all want to wear white at weddings, particularly women, I suppose, and people who identify as women, because it just feels right and it feels weddingy and it feels bridal. But we will be doing it in a way that is our choice, it's our decision, in the way that we want. And I think that's quite lovely. So let's end on that nice note, shall we? People being able to make the choices that make them feel the most comfortable and the most beautiful, because that's all I want for everybody. But I hope you found this episode interesting. I certainly found out a few things that I didn't know beforehand. And I think this idea of tradition is a really interesting one in terms of fashion history and particularly in terms of weddings. And I think the idea of celebrity culture being so closely entwined into this is something I didn't really quite expect. But it seems to me that it had a huge, huge influence on the choices people were making. And actually, I did learn that the idea of purity and innocence is a lot less closely tied to the wedding dress than I initially thought. And that's actually made me feel quite different about myself wearing white. Obviously, there's an element of that because there always will be. We're in a Christian culture in which, as I said, the Bible dictated that white equals purity and innocence. And that was a lot of the reason for marriage historically and would have been a huge part of marriage in the past. But actually, that is not the only sole reason why in the past people wore white. There are so many nuanced reasons why. And so that I found really interesting. It is not as closely tied into the history of white as we may have initially thought. Now, there's going to be two more episodes in this series. I don't know when they're going to come out because, as I have said 100 times on here, you're probably bored of me saying it, I am getting married this year. And so within the next 4 weeks, I'm going to be extremely busy. So you're lucky you're getting this one because it really took me a lot of time to write and record it. But there will be two more episodes in this series, and I do hope you keep an eye out for them, but I cannot tell you when they're going to come or how regularly they're going to come. But what I can tell you is that they will be interesting and you will enjoy them. With that in mind, please do head over to my Instagram page at Silhouettes Podcast. I'll be sharing lots of images relating to this episode, some famous celebrity wedding dresses, and also lots of other white wedding dresses of the past. Some really beautiful images that you definitely need to have a look at to give you a little bit more meaning to this episode as you listen to it. But I hope you had a lovely time, and I will see you all in the next one. Stay fab, everyone.